Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I stopped by to see Lindsay this week at her house, and the kids were home from school, and we were just chatting, and then all of a sudden Lindsay left the room we were in and went downstairs and came up with a which is kind of funny. It was a Diet Coke, which I normally don't drink diet soda. I really
Coke
don't
Zero.
Drink Coke. Well, right, but what is the difference?
It's, you know, there's a difference.
I don't really drink a lot of soda, but anyway, you were kind enough to bring up a Coke Zero, a little one, and two Almond Joys. Now, it's sort of like the person that goes to, your husband even mentioned this, it's like the person that goes to McDonald's and gets the quarter pounder with cheese and the fries and an apple pie. Do they still make the apple pie?
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll take a Diet Coke. I mean, at this point, you're at like 5,000 calories.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's not going to kill you. Anyway.
How is that Almond Joy, though?
They're delicious. And they're kind of, right, they're the almond, so that's good for you.
Right.
The coconut.
Yep.
I don't know about
the rest.
It
brings you joy, you know?
And it,
what's
thank
not
you,
to
Andy.
Love?
Yeah. And it brings
I mean,
joy.
I feel bad when I give them to the kid. Like, I have to take them out of the candy bucket because it's like, you remember getting, well, you
well,
don't
Well, you have
this.
To be careful about nut allergies.
Mm.
Well,
right?
I mean, I don't think about
this
the Snickers. But the kids,
well, Snickers are peanuts, not nuts. Remember?
Okay, but the parents will take them home. I mean, what
sure.
about dairy allergy? I mean, the
right.
parents
All
will
that
separate
it. Crazy
but
stuff.
My point is right. is that when I would get home and empty out my bucket and go, oh. There was like a red Almond Joy, too.
Right.
I don't remember what that one
I'm
was.
I'm trying to think of what the ones were.
I feel
were.
Bad.
I'm trying to think
kids.
Of the stuff that was there that, like, you know what you don't see a lot of in the Halloween candy anymore? Do we have any fans of Dots?
Oh
my gosh, Sydney just
Andy,
had some yesterday.
Right?
Yes.
That Dots is a thing for
you
like our generation.
Some.
Yeah, my stepdad Ray really likes Dots, if I recall.
It's the right consistency in the, it's not, you know, like your fillings don't come out.
Right.
Right? Right?
This is true.
And what's the one that's really hard, the chewy
Bitto
one?
Honey. What about Bitto? Remember Bitto Honey?
Well, they had the Jujubes.
Oh, Jujubes.
My
yeah,
mom
those were the ones, right, Andy, where you're like, you're digging with your finger.
Yes.
It's caught on the side.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like no, Jujubes.
Those are great.
And, yeah, Bitto Honey, that you could just throw right in the garbage. That and Butterfinger, forget it. Oh, Butterfinger?
Really?
Here, who wants the Butterfinger? That's
I'll
like
take
eating chalk, Butterfinger.
It's an interesting like
right?
texture.
It's not
yeah.
a it I don't know what that is. It's like I want to draw on the sidewalk with it. It's not good.
You know the candy bar that doesn't get its due? The Three Musketeers bar.
Oh.
Mm.
It's on, not it's not mentioned in the top 5 of any candy bar
and
thing
believe,
that I've ever seen.
And I believe Andy, I believe the Three Musketeer bar is one of the lowest calorie of the candies.
There's no light. Accident in that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, we used to take the Three Musketeers and eat the chocolate off so you just had the nougat
oh,
left.
Oh, the nougat was good.
Oh, you just wonder what that is, right? Nougat just doesn't sound like it's a made
right.
up word.
Right, it is. It is made up.
What are we going to call the thing in the middle there, Sydney? I don't know. Nougat. Okay, that's
nougat.
Nougat
it. Come on. I don't
they'll,
know.
They'll never know what it means. Just put it in there.
Right.
It's delicious.
It. Book it. It's the new ad.
Shut up, kid. Eat it. Oh, my God. So good. So good. All right. Well, we have lots coming up today on our Halloween show. Actually, later on this morning, I speak with a real live Ghostbuster. And I have to tell you, it was a very interesting conversation.
I'm so excited to hear it.
I got
to
tell you, I was, it was, you think a lot, when you hear about that, you think like people are getting kind of kooky and, you know, just kind of like, okay, you know, okay, fine, it's Halloween, we'll talk to you. This guy was super interesting and I think you'll find it to be enlightening.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty
very
cool.
Very nice.
Spiritual?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. And we have a really cool Noodaloo too that is actually perfect for Halloween, but also for you nighttime or evening walkers or runners or anybody that's out in the evening where it's pitch black. I think you're going to really be interested in this Noodaloo 2 coming up this morning. But let's get to your phone calls at 877-213-4LOO, 877-213-4568. Our first caller this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/LOO, and we're going to go to West Virginia and talk to Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How may I help you?
I live in a 1960s house, and I have the fabric insert shutters, And over the years, the a rod has broken or whatever, mm-hmm. and it got replaced with these 1/8-inch metal rods. Well, whenever you're hanging the curtains in them, they don't look right if they're not all consistent as far as the rod is concerned. But the thing is, you cannot find replacement rods anymore. So I want to make them, and it's just a 3/8-inch dowel, but on each end, it's been cut down to be like a peg. And on one end of it, it's like a half inch long, and on the other end, it's a quarter inch long.
Mm-hmm.
So the wood is too hard for me to try to whittle it. And so I thought, well, you know, if I could find a router bit, maybe I could find somebody to do that for me. But I don't know which router bit.
So wait. So this.
See if there were any other ideas.
Okay, so the rod that what you talked about that's thinner on both ends goes into some kind of clip that you already have?
It goes into the frame of the shutter itself.
The frame of the shutter itself.
The inside of the frame
right.
has a hole on each end at
Got
the top
it.
And the bottom.
Yep.
So you put the long end first, and then the short end on the other side.
And how long does the rod need to be?
Overall, it needs to be, I think it was like 11 1/4 inches, something like that.
Oh, okay. So not super long.
One end of the peg is a half inch and the other is a quarter inch.
What about, let me ask you this. What about, could you do anything with an aluminum rod instead of wood? Just from a...
Well, I've never...
Just from a standpoint...
I don't guess it would really matter what it is.
Right, because the reason is that then... I think you'd get a little bit more strength and durability out of it. And I know that at the hardware store, you could find these aluminum rods and perhaps, I mean, I know for a fact this is at our hardware store, we have these rods and they could cut it and then they could stick it on a grinder and grind the end of it to the dimension that you need and go, here you are, Kathy, go put this in your shade. And I think it might be a little bit more consistent for you as a solution for your shade. Because they make those in quarter inch, 3/8 inch, 1/2 inch. And, you know, they typically come, they're 30 inches long, 3 feet long. So you'd buy one of them. And I'm sure that somebody at the hardware store would be willing to help you with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll look for that.
Give that a shot. And I appreciate you calling this morning.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Happy Halloween this weekend. I appreciate it. That's very nice. West Virginia. I haven't had a call in West Virginia in a long time, if ever.
Mountain Mama.
That's a good one. Mountain Mama. We're going to sing it. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Morning.
How can I help
I'm
you?
I'm on my way to Rockford.
How may I help you?
Let's see. I'm looking at gutter covers. And one of the companies mentioned that, because these are going to be the aluminum ones, in the northern tiers, it's better if they're the not seen ones to get the black gutter covers, because in the winter, that would help retain the sun's heat and it would help with the melting process.
That is perfectly sound advice. I think that the issue, you know, with gutter covers, you know, a lot of people will complain initially when they get them and say, man, I never had this ice problem before I put these gutter covers on. And that really is more of an atmospheric thing that occurs depending on the kind of snow load that we get. You probably had the problem, you just didn't see it because the ice was in the gutters, right? So
we had ice dams in the past.
I'm just saying that in general, when people get these, it's one of the first complaints. Now, if it's black, is it going to absorb the sun better than the silver? Sure. I think it's probably marginal as far as its ability to use the heat from the sun. I know that I have aluminum gutter caps on our own home that I've had for 20 years. They're silver. I've had zero issue with them. And I don't clean the gutters, and they work out great. So, you know, if black is an option and it's not a crazy upgrade in the price, then sure, why not?
Same price.
Yeah, same price, then sure. There's no, you know, I'm find out what the finish is. I'm sure it's some sort of baked-on finish, right? And just know that it's probably not going to last forever, but guess what? Neither are we.
Yeah. I was also thinking about putting some heat tape on, like, the inside corner where the ice, you know, the snow and ice like to come down.
You know, if you have areas where you traditionally have problems, you know, year after year, using the heat tape or the roof coils in those areas can certainly be a benefit. There are some companies too, Carl, that make gutter cables that have an integrated ice strip, a heat tape in them. And that's kind of a neat option for colder climates too.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, I appreciate
do your investigation and be careful. And, you know, I know it's an investment, but it's way cheaper than you falling off of a ladder up there as well, which, you know, I think the number there is something like 250,000 people go to the hospital because of accidents falling off of a ladder. So who wants that? Nobody. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. This is Peter, who's in Edison, New Jersey. Hey, Peter, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, I have an outlet that wasn't working. You know, you plug something into it, a lamp or something, low voltage, whatever, 15
okay.
amp.
Okay.
Didn't work. Plugged it in. I figured it was the outlet had gone bad. I replaced it. And the way I tested it was with one of those old-fashioned testers. You know, the thing with the little light bulb on the end and then just two wires that you stick into the outlet.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure it was dead. I hit the circuit breaker, closed, turned it off. The little light goes off. I replaced the outlet. And when I turned the circuit breaker back on and plugged something in, exact same problem. And the same thing with the tester. There's still a little, like, low voltage enough to light up that little tester. It turns out there were two on the same line. And then it's a rental property. And then I was told there were actually three. So I'm wondering if it's the circuit breaker, which was my next thing to change. I was going to take a shot at that. Although when I opened it up, it looked pretty scary in there.
Yeah, it is. Anyway. Yeah. if you haven't done this before, opening up the panel and doing a breaker is something I highly do not recommend.
Yeah, I did one of those online searches. I've seen it done a million times.
I understand.
I mean, actually, I'm kind of comfortable doing it. My question is, I guess, does that make sense? Can a circuit breaker just let in a certain amount of energy enough to light up that stupid little light?
Well, let me ask you this. Of the three, you mentioned that there are three different outlets on this circuit. Is that true of the other two when you put the like if you plug a lamp in, it won't work?
All three, if you use the little tester, because I wanted to make sure it was dead.
Right.
When I did that, they all lit up when the circuit breaker was on. I mean, yeah, when it was on and when I turned off the circuit breaker, it, you know, that stopped happening. And I was able to go in and change the outlet. In fact, I changed two of the three outlets. And like I said, exact same problem.
Yeah, so breakers, to answer your question, absolutely. Breakers do go bad if it's an older system. There can be, when you think about the load that's on a circuit breaker, they do have a life. On average, it's about 20 years or so where then people will start to, this thing trips all the time or what's going on. And it's not uncommon that you would hire an electrician, emphasis on hire an electrician, to remove that breaker and replace it. Now, if you're going to attempt this, which I highly do not recommend, there is a main breaker in that panel up above.
Right. Now, we've shut that off and shut off the whole house, too.
And you got to test everything. And then, did you ever play that game Operation?
Yeah.
That's what you're playing, because that there's no time. For, you know, the thing is, when you look at those lugs that come in from the service that are before that breaker, okay, those are hot. There's no breaker on that whatsoever. If you touch something you shouldn't be touching, there's no time for crying, Irene. You're done. So I applaud your DIY spirit, but look, I've been doing this a very long time, and even I do not spend time in an electrical panel. I just don't. I got my hands are too big, and if you lose your balance or whatever it is, or you know, I wear glasses, I got to turn my head up to see what I'm doing. I just don't do it, so I leave it to a professional.
I think you talked me into it. It's a very old panel. It's probably got to be, at least, like you said, you hit the number on the head. At minimum, it's got to be 30, 40 years old.
Yeah.
It might be a good excuse to just replace the surface because I know it is crowded in there. Whoever had the house before me, they did an addition, and they didn't increase the they just tacked on to everything, and it's a mess in there.
Yeah. What would pay Peter for you to do is hire an electrician to come clean up that panel. Put the breakers, replace the breakers that need to be replaced. You'll have peace of mind. Everything will work right. And you get to live another day. All right?
I think you're talking into it. All right.
Got it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good. I appreciate you calling. Happy Halloween. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Happy Halloween to you and yours there.
How are you this morning? Happy Halloween. What are you going to be dressed up as today or tomorrow?
A garage door repairman.
I know where this is going.
Well, you know it. So I'm working on the garage door. I've got the cables broke, and I picked up my cables, and then I get this the two bars that go to turn it. I guess you call it a turnbuckle that tightens up the torsion spring. And I've checked all the YouTube videos and stuff, and they show these guys doing it, and you tighten the spring and all this stuff. But nobody tells you how many turns you do on that spring. And I was talking to one guy in the neighborhood, and he said that he remembers hearing something that if you got a 7-foot garage, you make 7 complete turns on that turnbuckle. Does that sound right to you?
Well, okay, I'm gonna stop you because just like when that earlier caller I was talking about the electrical panel, that torsion spring is not the easiest or the safest thing to work on. And so you really do need to have experience doing that, because if that thing snaps, okay, it could be super dangerous. Like, take an eye out, knock you off the ladder. And so let me ask you this. What is the issue you're having with the door?
Cable spring broke. You know, it's been about 35 years.
Okay, so you have two cable springs coming off of the torsion bar. And one of them broke.
Right.
Okay. And don't you have the ability? So you've got a pulley up top on the end of that torsion, right?
Right, on each side of the.
So you're going to replace just the one cable for now? Is that what you're going to do?
I was going to do both of them because I just read if you do one, you might as well do two.
Okay. But one is still, but one of them is still connected, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's leave the torsion bar. Prior to this cable breaking, was it fine? It went up and down? Okay.
Yeah.
So I want you to leave the spring. Feed the cable that you get at the hardware store or the home center through that pulley and, bring it down and then feed it down, channel it like it gets channeled down to the bottom eyelet that gets connected.
Right.
You're going to feed that cable through that. And you know the cable ties that you, with the two little nuts that wrap around to tighten it there?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to wrap that around, and with a pair of vice grips, you're going to pull so that cable is taut. Mm-hmm. With one, and this may be something if you have a neighbor that could help you, because this would be good too. So while they leave that pressure up there, you take that cable tie and you crank it and tighten it there, and now you've just replaced that cable.
Right.
Now we operate the door. Hey, look, it looks great. Wonderful. You check all your connection points, make sure it's all good to go. Then you go and replace the other cable.
Oh, I see.
Because now I'm going to keep the torsion spring from unraveling, which right now, with just one cable, the risk is if that snaps, then you're, up that creek without a paddle. But right now, the torsion, it's set. It's fine. If it worked fine. I do not recommend that you, as a DIYer, mess with that spring on your own.
I see.
Because you'd be like, I'll just go one little bit more, and then snap, bang, boom, in your face, you're down on the ladder, and, you're heading off to the hospital with a big old, then you have your costume to scare everybody.
Right. Yeah. For sure. Okay, Lou. Thank you so very much for the advice. I appreciate it.
Have a great day. Stay safe this morning. I'm all about, I think there's even an ad that I read about. I'm all about the DIY spirit, but I'm also all about telling you when you should get a professional to do that. There's plenty you can do yourself, but there's plenty that you say, you know what? I'm going to get somebody else. Think about all the money you save doing all the other stuff and use that to invest in someone that has a lot of experience doing the work there. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is, let's get this line to work for me. This is Tricia calling in from Naperville. Hi, Tricia.
Hi, Lou.
How may I help you?
Okay, so 2.5 years ago, we had major hailstorm damage, and I hired the guys that previously had replaced our roof. So anyway, last year the work was still going on, and I hired another contractor to come in and just take a look and make sure that everything, you know, was going okay. And he said at that time that the flashing wasn't done. So my guy said that, yeah, he did put the flashing in, like, under the roof, and that's what it was. And the other guy said, no, flashing is that, I think you call it step flashing.
Right. So that we're helping each other. Flashing is a general term, and it can be used on a bunch of different areas of a roof. Step flashing is a specific type of flashing that typically goes where a dormer or some protrusion through the roof goes straight up, but then the roof comes up on an angle. Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
So I've got my new roof, and I actually brought someone in to give me an estimate on replacing it, and I did it while the other guy was here, and he said, no one else can touch the roof, that I'm going to void the warranty. Then I called the office manager, and she said, no, that's not true, that, you know, they'll just come out and they'll inspect the work and make sure that it's okay. But the guy that was going to do the work, he said that he would have to take off the shingles, and then the metal or whatever would have to go, like, down, and then he'd, like, you know, put new shingles, like, on top of that. Is that true or not?
Well, okay.
I got to be mad.
No. Well, I'm just trying to uncover what's going on. So if you, so you're saying that one of the roofers, a different person, is telling you there is no step flashing.
Well, no. So I have 25-year-old flashing up there now.
Okay, and a new roof.
Yeah, exactly. And that step flashing has never been changed in the 25 years, and it's had two new roofs in that time.
And so And when you did the new roof, or did the old roof come off?
Yeah, they took it totally off.
Okay. Well, if they took it totally off, then it would be kind of crazy that the step flashing... I mean, it is possible that the roof can be taken off and the step flashing remains, but that's not a really good roofing job. So in order to do it correctly, in fact, the shingles where they meet that protrusion coming through the roof have to come off, so that, because the way the step flashing works, if you can imagine, I mean, trying to describe this, I've got a piece of shingle, right? That's like just call it a piece of wood, right? Flat piece of wood. And I put it up against the side of a building and I nail it. Then I put a piece of flashing over the top of that. That's like an L. It sits on top and then goes up. And then I put another piece of shingle on top of that. And then I put another piece of flashing. So I'm stacking as I'm going up the run of the roof. And then the part that goes up, that's against the edge that's protruding through the roof, typically gets covered with a piece of siding and or something called counter flashing, depending on what the material is. So, yes, the shingles have to come off. And it can be patched in, and you can do that without removing the rest of the roof. You just need somebody that knows what they're doing.
So that's my question. So do you have anybody to recommend? My sister that listens to your program all the time, she said, call MegaPros, but I'm outside of their area.
Yeah. Where are you at? Naperville?
Naperville.
Yeah, okay.
Will Kim.
So Lindholm Roofing and or Rogers Roofing and or there's a great site.
Wait.
I'm sorry. Lindholm, L-I-N-D-H-O-L-M.
Okay.
Or Rogers Roofing, like Rogers. But then there's also a terrific site. You're calling from the Chicagoland area, but we got people listening in New York, too. There's a great site when you're looking for roofers. It's the National Roofing Contractors Association, which I suggest you go to as well. NRCA, N as in Nancy, R as in Robert, C as in Cat, A as in Apple, .net. And then you plug in your zip code, and you get a bunch of different really good roofing contractors in the area to come and work for you and get different bids on that. I appreciate the phone call. I'm bumping up against time here. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-2134. Lou, we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Hey, Lou, how you doing? Longtime fan.
Thank you very much. How are things in Arkansas?
Getting a little colder.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'm originally from Chicago.
So that cold is a relative thing, right?
Absolutely.
How may I help you?
I have a front door that is a metal door, and it is painted with a flat, dark brown paint.
Flat, okay.
Now, there's nothing wrong with the paint. The door looks fine. It's just, how do I gloss it up, Lou, without having to repaint it?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, by the time if I...
Yeah, I know. You know, don't laugh, but I heard to use Armor All.
No. I mean,
okay.
Here's the thing, is that, yeah, we could put something over the top of it, like a urethane or something, but by the time you do that, I'd rather you just go get a quart of paint in brown in a semi-gloss.
And just redo it.
Well, yeah, because it's the same amount of work, right, to do this, because I'm going to tell you, if you're going to use that, to take a little sponge... sander, you know, a little hand sponge sander and a medium grit, just to lightly sand it. I'd do the same thing. So now I would take that, clean it all up with a sponge sander, wipe it down with a rag, get a quart of the brown paint, or if you want to change the color, you can do that as well, in a semi-gloss. And then, what is it? Is it a steel six-panel door?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Go to the paint store, the hardware store, buy that quart of exterior, just like an exterior latex paint, okay, in the color, whatever you want. Exterior latex, okay, paint and primer in one. Yeah. That's what I want. Then you know how you can buy those little kits with the small roller that comes with the pan, and it comes with a little, not a foam roller, but it comes with a fabric roller.
Yeah.
4-inch, buy one of those. Pour the paint inside here. Do the entire door with that roller. It'll take you 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then, even though it's getting a little bit colder there, you can leave that door. Do you have a screen door or a storm door on the front of this thing?
It's a screen door. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to take the door off because I'm an electrician by trade.
Oh, wow.
And I will get paint everywhere. I am terrible with paint, Lou. I mean, it would be all over the carpet.
Here's what's funny. I was talking with people today about, you know, I don't know if you heard, but there was a guy calling. He's like, oh, I'm going to take the panel off and I'm going to replace the breaker. And I'm like, you don't want to do that. I go, that is something that you leave for the professionals. Now, here you are steady enough to do that, but if you paint, you're going to make a mess.
Exactly.
Okay. So then take it off. Put it on some horses, roll it all out. It'll be, you know, then if you're going to do that, you know, it with using that latex paint that I mentioned, it'll dry in a couple of hours. You can even hit it for a second coat if you need to just touch it up. But to me, that's the way to go.
Okay, brother.
All right, man.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate you calling. Happy Halloween. That's very nice of you to call this morning. 877-2134-LOU is our number. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
That was a top 40 DJ for a while down in Peoria.
Come on, with those pipes?
Yeah.
Come on. Of course.
So Deborah, back then she was Debbie. Now she's Deborah to her friends.
When Andy calls her.
Deborah, how you doing?
Hey, speaking of our friends, Andy,
yes.
I saw on Twitter that some friends of, I know friends of yours, mm-hmm. and some friends of mine as well, were just inducted into the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. Three guys that we know very well, Pat Hughes, voice of the Cubs, and David Kaplan and Tom Waddle are a couple of our former teammates here at WGN Radio as well.
That's awesome. Congratulations to them. Definitely. I saw some nice pictures of them, and they had some sort of in-person event, and it was very nice to see that. Those guys have been in this place. I mean, Pat Hughes, there's no one better, and when it comes to play-by-play and radio, I would probably put him up against anybody in baseball, and just a talented person. And Kaplan and Waddle, I'm not quite sure how they got in, but they did.
Yeah. Those two, you know, together, they can accomplish anything, right?
Yeah.
Including getting into the... No, they deserve it, of course.
No. That's great. Congratulations to them. That's really nice to hear. And then, you know, I was thinking, you know, John Williams is probably on his way dry. You know, he's going to talk to a dead president today.
Oh, that's right.
He's got that Thomas Jefferson thing. Don, have you ever been to the... to any one of those events?
Not yet, but it is,
you know,
on my to-do
list. Do you know why you haven't been?
Why?
Because they're always in the morning on a Saturday.
Yes, they are.
And so I have been, John's been doing this now since Thomas Jefferson's died. So, and they're always in the morning. I can never go. I've always wanted to go.
Right.
But I can't go because, like, oh, we're going to do it at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, hey, thanks. Don't you think that there could be a situation where you go see Thomas Jefferson and have a cocktail?
Oh, man.
Like, couldn't we do a happy hour with Thomas Jefferson?
I think that'd have to improve it.
I'm just throwing this out there for the people at WGN who are listening. Because, first of all, it's a sold-out thing, which is awesome that people are going to come back. And for those that don't know, John talks to this gentleman who portrays Thomas Jefferson. Clay Aikens, I believe, is his name. And he's been doing this for a very long time. And then he talks about Thomas Jefferson, or he embodies Thomas Jefferson and talks about current events. It's actually kind of interesting from the looking back, and it's a really good... They've been doing this for years. I would love to go. I think it would be so awesome, but I can't. So couldn't we do a happy hour thing where, say, the performance was at 5? So hear me out. This is what we're going to do. So it's going to be a couple cocktails, whatever, and then you go to this event, right, sell out tickets, whatever. Then they do an after thing. Like, Lindsay, isn't there a thing like when you go to a concert, you get to hang out backstage or something, sometimes when you go...
Yeah, the meet and greet.
Meet and greet or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
Right.
VIP.
VIP.
After
so,
bar.
Can I say this? Can I say what your brother does? Sure. So Lindsay's brother works for the Zac Brown Band.
Nice.
And whenever Zac Brown comes into town, well, guess who gets VIP tickets? Not me, but Lindsay and her friends go to go see Zac Brown, and they ticket go hang Brown. Out, you know, whatever, and they whatever. So now you could do whatever the ticket price is for the happy hour with Thomas Jefferson. Then there could be an additional fee that you pay for, like, a meet and greet that maybe has a charity aspect to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Thank
you. Who wouldn't want to see that in, like, a private setting, like Thomas Jefferson reacting to cell phones and stuff, you know? Like,
right.
When you're taking a picture in front of him and everything.
I mean, it's amazing. Like, is this thing on?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I like that.
This is, you know what that's the sound of? Money left on the table. Right there.
There it
that's
is.
The sound. So anyway, good luck, John. I'm sure it'll be a great show. Wish I could attend.
Indeed.
877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is my phone number. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We got a really cool Noodaloo 2 coming up at 7:30 this morning that if you're a evening, now that it's getting darker, I think today's sunset is going to be like at 5:46 or something crazy like that, right? I mean, you're just getting home from work. And but this is a cool little shoe safety clip that has just a myriad of applications, not to mention Halloween. Mm-hmm. That'll be coming up a little bit later on this morning. Right now, let's get back to your phone calls. This is Forrest calling in from Pontiac. Hey, Forrest, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good. How may I help you, sir?
I've got a question about, you know, that moaning sound you sometimes get in the plumbing. Mm. I've got one toilet in the house and only one, and whenever I flush it, it makes that noise. I tried that tip about turning off the water, draining every valve, and that kind of thing, and back on. Seemed to work a little bit, and then within a day or two, it was right back.
So
I didn't know if I should just keep doing that.
It's as it's filling, you're getting the sound?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's try
that. Well, no, I take that back. I can hear it fill, and then as soon as it stops, that's when the sound starts.
Okay. My guess is it's a problem with the fill. And let me ask you one other thing. Is it just one toilet?
Yes.
Okay. So it's probably an issue with the fill valve.
Okay.
Now, what you can try just to test this out is go to that toilet, turn the water all the way off.
Okay.
To the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Then just turn the valve one quarter turn. So we're gonna decrease the volume of water going into that flush valve.
Okay.
And the pressure is going to be there, but the volume is going to go down. And then flush the toilet and see if that goes away. And if that goes away, I mean, A, you could be like, ah, well, so it takes the toilet longer to fill up. What do I care? Or if it does go away and you're like, hey, after, you know, whatever, a few hours seems to be the trick, then replace that fill valve with the new fill valve.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense?
That does. I had no idea to try that. That
yeah, and you just reduce the volume of water many times. It's a test, but a lot of times, you know, when I tell people that, like, oh yeah, I did that, and then I never did anything about it, you know, because it didn't make a noise, and it just takes longer for the toilet to refill, you know.
Right.
You're not
right.
A gymnasium, so it's not like you got kids coming in there, you know, day after day after day.
Not so. Too worried about that, no.
Exactly.
Hey, can I ask you one other thing?
Sure.
Unrelated, I want to build a little area where I'll keep the garbage cans, so I'm going to put some paper stones and then a little fence around it.
Nice. Are you going to put a top on it, too?
No, I wasn't planning on it.
Because that looks kind of cool.
That sounds like more work than I want. The whole thing sounds like more work than I want, to be honest.
Well, you know, you can, I mean, okay, well, they do make those. What do you have, like the rolling carts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They do make those enclosures that you can buy. I believe Lifetime makes it, and you just click it all together.
Oh. Well, I might look into that.
And it looks really nice, and I think you can purchase it with a lid or without. And the lid has... like little, shock absorbers or lifts on it that you lift it up, holds the lid up, then you open up the thing and, you know, close it, and it helps. What the lid is good for is keeping, I don't know, where do you live? Well, you're in Pontiac, so you probably have bears down there. You know,
bears.
Well, you know, and rodents and whatnot, you know, out of it, and it just looks visually nicer, but they also make it without a lid.
Okay. Well, if I decide to tackle it myself and build something, which would I do first, the paver base or the fence? That may be a dumb question.
Well, if you're going to then have to roll these out, is this going to be where you're placing it is on the ground? There's no driveway or adjacency that you have to come to?
I was going to build it to the level of the adjacent driveway and then put a gate there at that end.
Then I would do the paver first and put the fence on top of that.
Okay.
That's how I would do it. Or the, you know, the enclosure, whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, okay. I just wasn't sure how to start it. So
you got it. All right, good luck. Send us pictures. Thanks. I want to see them. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break. And be right back. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. How about our next caller? We send a House Smarts Radio hat out to, sponsored by our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating your kitchen or your bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. We're going to have to put extra postage on that because we're going to send the hat out to Bob, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Bob.
Well, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How may I help you, sir?
A few years ago, we had the tiles put in our floor. They look like regular tiles with the adhesive, but the grout seems to be splitting in there. And is there something other than the tub with the putty knife that you have to go through with something a little simpler to fill them cracks?
Where is this tile?
Well, I've got it in the kitchen and the bathrooms, and it seemed to change a few years ago when we had that big snow down here. Actually, I was in Chicago at the time when everything changed, and it kind of opened it up a little bit.
And so what do you have, like hair? You have like hairline cracks in between?
Yeah, well, it just split up. Yeah, it's kind of like Caroline. It's not like completely, you know, they need to fill.
It's not like there's chunks of it missing.
Well, not chunks. It's just the lines. It's just where it splits apart. Just in lines of it, like in lines. It just needs to fill in.
And how wide are those gaps?
Oh.
In other words, I'm sorry. How wide are the grout? How wide are the grout lines? Eighth of an inch? Quarter of an inch?
About a quarter of an inch.
Okay. And is this everywhere on the floor?
Predominantly everywhere. All right, predominantly, well, yeah.
So if I was going to do if I was going to do that and just try and kind of, you know, kind of get it to look a little more consistent, I would probably regrout the floor. Now, let me ask you this. You said the tiles are red. The grout is what, like a gray color?
No, the tiles aren't red. They're just like of a it's like a beige color.
It's a beige color, and then the grout lines are similar.
Yeah, they're similar. The tile is kind of a design light colored, but the grout is all beige. Yeah.
Okay. Now, in a perfect world, I would tell you to remove some of that grout before you did this. But if you're looking to just touch up these hairline cracks, this is what I would do. I would buy a bucket of grout or powdered grout that you're going to mix with water, and you're gonna mix it up, and you're gonna actually mix it slightly thinner than the directions show, okay? And you're gonna use a grout float, which is a handled tool. Have you ever done any grouting before?
No, but I know what you mean by the float. Yeah.
Okay, so it's like a hard rubber float that has a nice clear edge around the perimeter, and you're gonna mix this up. Follow the instructions, but add just a little bit more water, and then go right over the top of what you have, working that material in, and you're going to do just a light coat over the top of what you have, but the idea is to press it into those smaller joints, and then use a large damp sponge to wipe it away as you go. And that will help to tune up what you have, as opposed to regrouting everything, you know what I mean? And it's a lot of hand, you know, on your hands and knees type of thing, but it'll look a heck of a lot better if you did that.
One quick question. When you're wiping it, do you wipe along the line or across it?
Across. So when you're grouting,
across.
You know, when you're grouting, you're actually working, you're crisscrossing, and you're forcing the material into the grout lines. And then you're going to buy, the sponge you're going to buy is like a big, big sponge. It's like the size of a baseball mitt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you're going to put that in damp, in water, and it's not going to be soaking wet. It's going to be damp, and you're going to wipe it. But you're not, when you wipe it, you're going to see a little bit of a haze still on the tile. Leave that. Because if you try and clean that all in that first pass, you'll remove all the grout that you just put on. Then you'll step off that floor, and you'll give it about an hour or so. And then you'll come back with that same damp sponge with clean water and wipe the remaining haze off of the tile. And you might not get it all, but you don't want to. If you leave that haze, it will be harder to remove off the tile. So you just want to get it, you know, relatively clean. And if you, you know, it's a lot of work, I get it, but it'll look 100% better if you do this.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You got it, Bob. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. Okay, after this report at WGN Radio News, we're going to have a Noodaloo 2 that's a really good one for you nighttime runners. And, oh, by the way, so Lindsay goes, a big shout-out to Tim in Naperville, who has a group right now currently doing Bloody Marys in his garage, who's heading out to see Thomas Jefferson and John Williams. And it's Clay Aikenson, just to be sure, because Clay Aikens, we think, was the guy from American Idol.
Right.
Jenkinson. Yeah, oh,
Jenkinson.
Jenkinson. Okay. It's not even right. It's Jenkinson. It's not even Aikenson.
Got the Clay, though.
But evidently, these people are going to be all liquored up before they get there. And what's better than Thomas Jefferson and John Williams? Dry? Loaded.
That's the way.
Time now for WGN Radio News. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on this very radio station. Good morning, John. I can't wait for the show.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. Are you on your way?
Yeah, but I'm not doing a American Idol show. I was listening on the radio, and evidently you've got me touring with Clay Aiken.
Right. We corrected it. It's Jenkinson. I got the Clay right, and, you know, I mean, I'm more interested, really, quite frankly, I would love to meet Clay Jenkinson, but I really would like to see him perform as Thomas Jefferson. But why can't I go, John?
Because we always do it while you're on the air, because that's when
Because you hate me. You hate me. Everybody at the station, they don't like me. I get it.
Oh, no, that's right. I do it because I hate you. I hate you. That's right. What I'm really worried about is I'll be doing the show, and I'll ask him about taxes or the Second Amendment or something, and I'll say, what should we do? And you'll leap to the stage, and you'll say, okay, here's what you do. And then you'll start to do the thing.
So it's a conscious effort to just leave me out of it. I understand. But if I promise to be on my best behavior, could we do a happy hour with Thomas Jefferson? I remember back when you were hatching this show and you were asking the listeners to come up with the name of the show, which I believe the name of this particular show is Thomas Jefferson Unmasked, correct?
That's correct.
Right. So I would like to propose the next show, Happy Hour with Thomas Jefferson.
You know, I hate to say this, but that's a pretty good idea.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you. Bring that up at the next meeting.
If you come to one of these shows, yours will be the only one with a seatbelt.
Right.
He's going to strap you in.
Right, right.
Because it's not Lou Manfredini fixes
me. I will be quiet. I promise I'll be quiet. Well, I know I'm super excited. I heard the show is sold out, and then if my memory serves, you are also doing a live Mincing Rascals before, correct?
That's right. So 10 o'clock, the Rascals are on stage with me. We'll just do a half hour. Then we give the next 90 minutes to the first Secretary of State, the second Vice President of the United States, and the third President of the United States, the author of your Declaration of Independence.
Awesome. Have a great show. Both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2, and hopefully happy hour with Thomas Jefferson coming up.
Thank you for your support, Mr. Fixit.
Goodbye. Appreciate you calling. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. It is time for our new to Lou 2 this morning. We talked about that. This is an interesting one. Our new to Lou 2, by the way, is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy. So it's Halloween, and I mentioned to you that I think I saw that today sunset is like 5:46 or something like that. Tomorrow it'll be even less when the kids are out trick-or-treating. This is not just for Halloween. This is for all of you to do things in the evening outdoors and you want to stay safe. It's really cool. Take a listen.
People, if given the option, would prefer to run during the day when the sun is shining and the weather is the warmest. But hey, life can get in the way, and sometimes you've got to run, walk, or bike after dark or before sunrise. And if you do, it's always best to do it safely, right? Staying on safe, well-lit roads, wearing reflective clothing and shoes, making sure traffic can see you. All of which are great, but this week's New to Lou 2 will light things up even more with each step. Tekin's shoe safety clip lights attach easily to the heel of your shoe with no adhesives or fasteners and make you noticeable to anyone around you, especially drivers. They're kind of like an incaved horseshoe shape that fits snugly right onto the heel of just about any shoe. They're weatherproof, visible up to a half mile, and the battery lasts up to 100 hours if you keep the lights on steady, and they'll last about 70 hours if you put them in the flashing mode. You can change the colors, the lights are LED, and they even work on kids' shoes, so hey, these little guys will be great for tomorrow's trick-or-treaters out there. No one will miss them. They're definitely going on my girl's shoes. There's a bunch of different brands available on Amazon. The ones we're talking about today are, again, the Tegan Shoe Safety Clip Lights, and they go for $9.99. Deal. And they're prime, so you can get them delivered tomorrow before the witching hour begins. Light them up and stay safe out there in the dark. For more information, visit HowSmartsRadio.com.
Boo!
Can I tell you something? The $10 price range is like the deal of the century.
I know.
It's like a headband for your heel of your shoe.
What are those things? This is how Lou set it up off there. What are those things ladies used to wear in their hair that kept your hair out of your eyes?
Right,
a hot band?
Well, my girls used to have them, and I remember that
they probably still do.
I guess they may. They're like headbands. They are headbands, but they have those little knobbies on them, right? They have like little nubs.
Wait, are you talking about headbands or
a headband?
Yeah,
has the nubs on it, right, to hold your hair.
Sure. All right.
So these heel things have the same said nubs to clip on the back. Like you're walking when I walk the dog at night, like now when I walk the dogs at night, I'm in charge of the nighttime walking. I have a lantern that I carry, but here's the thing: the lantern and two leashes, and then you get a bag full of you know what, and you're like, I need one more arm. Now, if I put these things on my heels, if a car comes, I just kind of turn. Here I am with my dogs and my dark clothes. I mean, did you drive at all yesterday?
I was gonna. I was gonna go right there.
Wasn't it awful driving yesterday?
Street is so wet and dark and no lights. And I was like,
it was such a weird thing. I was driving yesterday with Mary Beth, and it was really treacherous to drive because it was dark, rainy. The roads were shiny, and it's like a weird time of year. The sky was a weird color, and then people are out walking in black coats.
Right.
Or crossing the street, and you're like, whoa, where'd they, you know what I mean? It's really, this is a must-have. If you want to learn more, go to...
Well, and go ahead. For tomorrow night. I mean, it's going to be
dark. Well, it's amazing
early.
That you said that it's on Prime, and they could get it tomorrow.
Overnight, right.
In Chicago.
Do it.
Right. You can go to housemartsradio.com. Lindsay posted all there, and you can see it in action, and then do you have a link there, too, for people to if they want to buy it?
Yes, there's a bunch of them on Amazon,
different kinds,
different
right.
But
But you said, this is a nice high quality. It feels
absolutely
substantial.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to your phone calls right after this. How are you?
Pretty good. Good morning, Lou. This is Jerry, and I have a question regarding the garage door of my aunt's. She's in her mid-90s, and they built the house in 1960, and it's a solid wood door, four sections, no windows or anything in it, but it's got about 12 coats of paint on it.
Okay.
And it's cracked and blistering and unsightly. And we wondered if there was anything we could do. Finances are a challenge here at this age. And if there's something we could cover that paint with. I've seen murals on garage doors, but I'm not familiar with them. Or some material that we could put over the paint to last for a while.
Well, I mean, the look of it, the blistering and the peeling that you're talking about, is it everywhere or just in certain sections?
It's pretty much, it's worse at the bottom, of course, but
right.
At the top, it's blistered also. You know, it faces the south.
Right,
east.
So it gets, right. Well, let me ask you this then. Do we have the ability or can we, probably the best thing to do, if it were me, is I would use a stripper to pull off as much of the paint as possible, sand the door down, and repaint it. There's a paint stripper. It's a little bit hard to find, but I know you'll find it, called Dumond. D-U-M-O-N-D.
Okay.
D-U-M-O-N-D. And it is, when you open it, it comes in different sizes, but say you buy a quart of it, you probably need to buy a gallon of it for a door.
Correct.
It kind of resembles hand cream when you look at it. And what's weird about this product is you can put your hand in it and it won't harm your hand. But when you put it on a painted surface, it will pull that paint off and then you'll scrape it away. Now, the fact that you have all these layers and layers of paint, it may take a couple applications. What's interesting about this particular product, it is the product that they used to strip all the paint off of the Eiffel Tower recently over the, you know, I think for the past 15 years they've been working on the painting of the Eiffel Tower. This is the product they used. And I discovered it a few years ago at the hardware show in Las Vegas, and I was just amazed by the product. If my memory serves me, the distributor is in the Chicagoland area, but it's a very good product. I would put it on, let it do its job, scrape away the paint, be amazed, and then lightly sand the door down after you're done, and then just repaint it, roll it, re-roll it with a good exterior acrylic paint.
Okay, you wouldn't do any rinse coat or anything to neutralize it?
That may be the case. I can't remember the specifics of the instructions on what they say once you do it. There may be that rinse coat that you have to do. You would find that out on the can itself. I just can't remember that off the top of my head.
Sure, that's fine. I can read the instructions.
Right. But it's really good. Dumond paint stripper, and it really is super effective.
Okay, we'll give it a try.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Beatrice in Elmhurst. Hi, Beatrice.
Hi, good morning to you.
Morning.
I listen to you a lot every morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you. How may I help you?
I wonder if you could help me. I had a gas leak. I had some big trees taken down, and when they were dropping these big pieces, I think it probably made a leak in my gas. Anyway, I had to have my ceiling in the basement take down before they could find the gas leak. And I was wondering, I'd like to get somebody to put that back, put a new ceiling in my basement. Can you help me?
What was the ceiling? Was it drywall? Was it some sort of suspended ceiling?
It was those squares.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know what kind of ceiling you would recommend, you know?
Yeah, is it the squares that have a little track, or were they nailed in place where there's no track?
No, they had the track.
They did have the track. Okay.
And I need a new ceiling, so I got down. There's just a few pieces.
Got it. Yeah. So there's, it's kind of a specialty basement / ceiling job deal. Mm-hmm. I know that places like what's the tile company, Lindsay, that we've done remotes at? Tile Outlet. That's the one on Fullerton. But the it's the big chain. I'm seeing it right now. Anyway, they're a big tile store. You see the ads on TV all the time. It'll come to me. I need to drink more coffee. Floor and Decor.
Okay, yeah,
Floor and Decor. That's it. Floor and Decor. Floor and Decor, they, I believe, also sell suspended ceilings. And so you could go there and look at the ceiling going, oh, that's pretty. You know, I like that. And they may have an installer for you to do that. Now, in Elmhurst, this is one other option for you is there's the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, where I send people to all the time. The website is NARI, NARI.org. And if you went, this is kind of in the realm of a carpenter. So if you found a carpentry contractor, they may be able to help you with this as well, to do that as well. But I think if you go to the supplier first, they could probably say, oh, yeah, we work with so-and-so. And, you know, they do this work all the time and would be a great place for you to get a recommendation.
I have to do that, right? What is the name of that place again?
Floor and Decor.
Floor Decor?
Floor and Decor. They're a big chain of flooring, and, they sell tile, and they sell all different stuff. But I believe they also do suspended ceilings.
Mm-hmm. And where is it at? Can you tell me?
There's multiple locations. So there could be one near Elmhurst, so you'll just have to look that up.
Yeah, and I'll have to look it up in the phone book.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
All right, that's all. And I have a tree growing right into my foundation. I'd have to call PermaSeal probably for that, right?
A tree growing into your foundation from the outside?
Right next to it, on the outside, yeah. I've been blessed. I've had six trees taken down. Big neighbor, big neighbor, and cost me a lot of money. And then now I've got all kinds of trees growing again.
Is there still a tree, though, there?
Pardon?
Is the tree still there, or the tree's been removed, but the roots are still growing?
No, those were other trees in my backyard. This is in the front of my house, by my foundation in the front. I see there's a tree growing there against the foundation, like.
How big is the tree?
It's not too big yet. I can see the you know, it's not too big, but I can see the bottom part of it.
Right, but my question
small,
is, are you
small.
No, but are you getting water in the basement, or you're just concerned about this tree being so close to the foundation?
I'm concerned about the tree being close to the foundation and going into like into the foundation.
So that would not be permaseal. I would call a landscape contractor come and dig that tree out for you.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. Have a great day. 877-213-4LOU. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Spiced honey bourbon old fashioned. Anyone?
Wow.
Hmm.
Right?
I mean, sounds like a breakfast of champions right
there. Okay. So amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, send me the recipe. So she sends me the recipe. And I'm in my spice cabinet looking for everything. And I didn't quite have everything, but I made it.
Right on.
Lights out.
Yes. Lights out.
So you make the syrup, like you make your own syrup, and you need ginger and cardamom.
It's
like a
cardamom.
I had it.
Wow.
I'm like, I'll never have that. And I had that, and it was so good. It was a lot of work, but I'm going to go for it as well.
Do you have to like tap a tree for that syrup?
No. You took a half a cup of water, a half a cup of honey, which you know I love the honey,
right?
And then you took cinnamon and rosemary and ginger and cardamom, and you boil it for like 5 minutes, and then you strain it, and you use 2 ounces of bourbon, 2 ounces of that syrup, some orange bitters, you use a little orange zest too, slice of an orange in there.
Wow.
And I didn't have the cinnamon stick, but my belly didn't know.
Yeah, that's hard.
So do you have syrup left over?
Oh yeah, so now I have more syrup. I can make maybe I'll make another one tonight. It would be like the perfect drink to have at Thomas Jefferson and a spiced honey bourbon old fashioned.
There you go, bring it in.
Right, it's probably something that Thomas Jefferson probably drank. Real quick now. Andy, you have worked with Bob Surratt before, right?
Correct.
And how about you, Don?
Yeah, at WLS, or a different station we used to
A different
work
station.
Together,
you can say WLS. Okay. That's okay. And Lindsay, you've worked with Bob Surratt too, right?
Love Bob.
I've known Bob for a very long time, and something happened on Friday that I think that a lot of people that know Bob will be... Well, let me set this up. So on Friday mornings, I do a thing called Lou's First Call in the morning show. Ironically, it was Steve Cochran that invented it. But we continue to do it every Friday morning. It's really fun. I get to talk to Bob and, you know, we answer listener questions. And right at the tail end of the segment, so what happens is I do the radio first call and then I'm on WGN-TV just a few minutes later, right? That I do every Friday. So this is what Bob said at the end of our segment yesterday morning.
Lou Manfredini, thank you, sir. If you mention us on Channel 9 when you go on there, I will buy you a dinner.
So that's what he said.
Nice.
He said, I'll buy you dinner. And I go, done. I'll do that, right? On the record, right? And so I went to do WGN-TV at 6:40. Now, mind you, I was dressed in a bear costume.
I saw that, by the way.
Nice.
It's a good look.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's slimming. And so this is what I'm on TV.
You know, Bob Surratt hosts the morning show on WGN Radio.
Sure.
And he said that if I mention him on the morning show today, he'd buy me breakfast. So when you leave this morning and you're done watching TV, you get in your car and you're going to work, turn on WGN Radio.
See, now, why is it that we don't do that more? Like on TV, they should. So when I'm done, they always promote the show on Saturday, but shouldn't we? We're all one part of family. If we're watching WGN-TV morning show, which is fabulous, hey, when you get in your car, turn on Bob Surratt and go.
Yeah.
So Bob said, say what you're going to say. I confused it. I said breakfast, but I'll take breakfast or dinner. It doesn't really matter. But for those that know, I was able to find, you know, one thing that Bob is kind of known for, he's not quick with the, you know, to offer to buy things. And so I found this old thing once that I went out to lunch with him, and he offered to pay, which I was shocked. This is the sound of what it's it, when he opens up his wallet.
He's a little WD-40 there.
I mean, he needs a little Superzilla on that, right? I mean, it's really creaky.
Are you blowing
out
the dust?
If he exercised it more, it wouldn't be as creaky.
Exactly. Got to get some work on the old hinges there.
I want to thank Bob Surratt for offering to buy me dinner. I'm not looking for a McRib. Although they're delicious.
Right.
They're delicious, but, you know, I'm hoping for something a little bit more than
like
that.
Like ribs.
Maybe. Yes. Yeah. Like some real ribs.
Yeah, real ribs.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah. Like Andy said. Yeah, right. Exactly. So, anyway, see, you just never know with me. If you ask me and say, will you do this? You darn right I will, because I like to eat. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's get a quick call in here. This is Jim, who's in Arlington Heights. Hi, Jim. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. I had a question for you, if I could kind of describe a problem. I have a two-story colonial, and there's five bedrooms on the second floor. And through these major heat storms we've been having through the last summer, we've realized that, you know, we really can't cool down those rooms up there. And we talked to a neighbor, and he said, well, don't you have hot air ceiling returns in your upper level? And I go, no. You know, all we have is heat and air feeds at the base of each of the windows. And there's no really any cold air returns or any venting down to back to the furnace from the second floor, except for a centralized pipe, if you will, or duct that runs, like in the hallway, there were two vents, a high and low vent on the second floor. Okay, you with me? So, so what I would historically do is I would move and cover the upper or lower, depending on the season, heating or cooling, right, to hopefully do the job of returning the air to the furnace. So I jumped in and did a project where I put these five flexible, you know, I put vents in the ceiling, put in flexi insulated duct work, if you will, 6-inch diameter stuff, and ran it to a junction box and, you know, attached it to the top of that main vent, if you will. So I went around and...
Wait, hold on. So you extended the existing cold air return vent, and you did like an octopus into all the rooms.
And I put vents that have dampers on them. You can open and close totally. So they're in, they're like 4x10 vents in each of the rooms. Okay. So then I did this Kleenex check. You know, I turned the fan on in the furnace, and the Kleenex would cling to the vents. And I said, man, I was very successful. I was happy. But then, and this is where the question, sorry for the big...
that's all right. I like your whole, I like, you know, you're like Mr. Magoo. You're like trying to figure all this out. I like it.
Okay, so then I was in the, you know, I'm in the hallway, and I recall talking to this fellow in the neighborhood, and he says, oh, yeah, they closed those two large vents that were there to begin with. And in effect, what that does is it kind of maximizes the reverse pressure, if you will, right? And I think that's why I had success. And so now I'm into the heating season, okay? And I'm like, wait a second. Maybe I've reduced the cold air, you know, cross-sectional area, and so my system's unbalanced. And how do I kind of get, you know, I have to close these vents all off, obviously, during the heating season because I don't want to, you know, draw the hot air that's in those bedrooms out of the room.
No. Okay, so hold on a second. So what you did makes perfect sense if I was designing a system from the beginning, not me, but a heating and cooling person. Remember that the way that a forced air furnace works, it's not like putting a pan on a stove. So the idea is I need the air, a forced air furnace is all about return and supply. And I want to continue to, I want to, you know, it's like, It's like, do you have a dog?
No.
No. Well, it's like petting a dog. You pet the dog from the top to the bottom, and you keep petting the dog, and you pet, and the dog just keeps going. Oh, my God, that's great. Just don't stop. And the minute you stop, that hey, you know what are you doing? So I need that air to keep going through. So as I'm drawing, you know what? Okay, so you've got this, you know, you said you put these up high. So obviously heat rises. Let's talk about the cooling season. And I'm going to pull that air through. Now I'm going to go through the furnace, and I'm going to heat that back up, and I'm going to keep supplying it. So as I'm circulating that air, constantly circulating that air, more of the air in the space is being heated and or cooled, which means you're more comfortable.
Oh.
Now.
Okay.
I don't know if that trunk line that came up there with those two vents out in the hallway is large enough, sized correctly, to do what you just did. But it obviously seems to be working. So what I would suggest to you is on those really cold days and on those really hot days, you turn that fan switch from auto to fan on.
Correct. Run it all the time, correct?
100%. Yeah. It uses hardly any energy, and you will be more comfortable. And just let these things stay open and see what happens. Because that constant supply and return, supply and return, supply and return, is what gives you the most comfort and avoids hot spots and actually ultimately has your system running less, that use, you know, the burners run less and or the condensing unit outside for air conditioning run less. All of that runs less and you're more comfortable. And I could probably get you a job in 2 seconds with an HVAC company because they're always looking for help. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time because it's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Dale Kazmarek is the president of the Ghost Research Society in Oak Lawn. Dale, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Tell me a little bit about this organization, the Ghost Research Society.
Well, the Ghost Research Society started back in 1977. As a group of like-minded individuals who are interested in pursuing and investigating reports of ghost hauntings and poltergeist phenomena across the country, but mainly our emphasis here is in the Midwest and the Chicagoland area. I began taking over the group in 1982 as president. I've investigated for more than 46 years and a little more than 4,000 cases.
So it would be fair to make the analogy that you're kind of the real-life Ghostbusters.
Yes, in a manner of speaking. We do research investigations. We go into buildings and properties and homes and businesses and public places that are haunted with using high-tech equipment to find out if there's actually something there and to try to give the owners, operators, or managers some insight of what kind of phenomena they may have in their abode.
So can you give us an example of perhaps a an investigation that you've done in the past of whether it was a commercial building or a home? I mean, I think there's probably plenty of people that hear things in their home and they'll go look at stuff. And I certainly know I have friends of mine who would say, oh, I live in this older home and I believe it has spirits in it. But can you give us an example of perhaps one such investigation that you've done?
Sure. A number of years ago, we were out in Bartlett. I can't give the exact location or
name. Sure, of course.
But we were out there doing an investigation, and the woman had called us about all kind of strange things that were going on, drawers that would be pulled out, silverware on the floor. They would get feelings of a presence. They had a young child, and one night the woman woke up and saw what looked like her child going towards sleepwalking, going towards the stairs. She jumped up, ran to the stairs, nobody there, and the child sound asleep. So the house is literally filled to floor to ceiling with antiques, and antiques can very often hold on to what I call place memories, where sometimes things will follow the antique wherever it goes. So we did an investigation there. We did get some evidence as far as some communication that was there using some of our equipment. But then later on, she decided to send me some of her haunted items out of the home because she was sure that these were the part of the problem. And when I got them here to my house, of course, my wife wasn't too happy about that. things began happening here for a while. I actually started to hear footsteps upstairs. My wife was here by herself when I was at work. She thought I had come in. The door slammed. There was nobody upstairs. They seem to have quieted down quite a bit, but you know, actually, right now they're in the garage.
Hmm. So have you found? I mean, you've been doing this a long time. Is there some type of energy that is it palpable? Is it something? You know, are for the most part, if you find the, I guess it's the spirit or the ghost. Is it a positive thing? Are they friendly? You know, is it, or are they not so friendly, or is it a mixed bag?
Most often, what we have investigated and what we have encountered in my research have been just people that have passed over for whatever reason, normally due to untimely death, and they may not realize that he or she is alive. Mm. And are just kind of hanging around, kind of like doing things that they normally did during their everyday life. So in some cases, you know, there is an energy there. I mean, you know, Einstein said it very eloquently that, you know, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It changes forms. So basically, the energies we have in our bodies, you know, what happens when we die? Do they go out elsewhere? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they stick around here. Do people encounter them? They're picked up by our equipment. So there are various means that we can determine if there's something going on in a property.
Interesting. I would imagine that, you know, here you are in the Chicagoland area, but there must be people like you all across the country that you perhaps share ideas and experiences together.
Yeah, I network with a number of organizations across the country. I've been involved in doing research into other haunted real estate and other haunted properties. A very famous one happened back in the 1960s in Nyack, New York.
Mm.
Very famous location where the people that were living there initially had a report of an apparition that was there that would shake their bed. They would see a woman's apparition. When they eventually sold the house to the Stambowskis, they didn't disclose that that house was haunted. And they began to have experiences themselves. They had about over $32,000 in escrow, so they tried to get their money back. They wouldn't give them their money back. They took them to court, and the New York State Supreme Court actually ruled that that house was haunted. And what they actually said is that when they decided to sell the house, they didn't bother to tell the new owners about the ghost problem, and that they ruled that it was actually legally haunted, and that a routine home inspection would never uncover. And that sellers must disclose that a house is haunted to potential buyers.
Wow. That is so.
There's actually a precedent in New York Supreme Court now.
Yeah. Wow. It's like you got to tell people that the basement is leaky and, you know, there might be a problem with drainage in the backyard and, oh, there might be a ghost up in the attic.
Absolutely. In fact, they actually call that the Ghostbusters ruling now. That's kind of been. It's often taught, you know, widely in, you know, law school.
Right.
Because of its unique holding.
Hmm. That's so interesting. Now, is this something that if people perhaps are listening to this going, oh, you know, I got that thing. I sometimes hear a door open and close or, you know, I get a lot of people calling all the time, Dale, that say my toilet flushes by itself, but I can usually solve that problem. It doesn't tend to be a ghost. But is this something right. that you help people with? And in other words, that they could get a hold of you and perhaps, you know, get your services?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, we don't charge for our services at all. I mean, there's no charge to investigate. I never have charged ever since I've been doing these investigations. Yeah, I'm out there to help people, but I'm also out there to gather evidence for the existence and possibility that ghosts are around.
Hmm.
And we have a website that people can visit, ghostresearch.org, where they actually go to and see some of our evidence we posted throughout the years, places that we've been to, and some of these strange photographs, audio, and video that we've captured. But we're actually out there to help people in cases that they have problems, they have things that they can't explain. And sometimes we're able to debunk them as natural explanations, but
sure.
A lot of times there's things that are going on that are paranormal.
Super interesting, and I honestly don't doubt any of it. I think that, you know, the world is a tough one to explain, and who's to say right or wrong whether it exists or not, and obviously you've been doing this for a very long time. Dale Kaczmarek is the president of the Ghost Research Society in Oak Lawn. Give us that website one more time.
It's www.ghostresearch.org.
Dale, thank you so much for taking the time. I do appreciate it, and I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
Oh, thank you.
My niece, Ellie, who just celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, Ellie. She's gluten-free, and whenever we cook stuff, I gotta, like, making sure that if you're putting some rub on something, it's gluten-free, which all that stuff is fine. Like, you can find that kind of stuff, but typically, it's kind of like Butterfingers. It's like chalk.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
This, they sent a little test basket thing, and I had a chocolate chunk gluten-free vegan cookie that I would put against anything. Mary Beth goes,
wow.
Oh, look at the cookies. She goes, pick a cookie that you want. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of calories in the cookies. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm the Seattle Sutton guy, so I got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Mary Beth goes, I cut that in half. We're going to split it. But it was so good.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
That's exciting.
Stay tuned for that. We got to get Don and Andy and Bob. And
I don't know if I had the gluten-free ones. I think I had,
everything's gluten-free. You didn't have the vegan.
Thing is gluten-free?
Their whole bakery is gluten-free.
Wow. That is amazing. I didn't even know that. Yeah. It was really good.
Really good. Like, they're putting something in there. I think bourbon or something. I don't know. I don't think they're putting bourbon.
That's a winner. That's a winner right there.
Why not? I mean, look, if you're drunk, everything tastes good, right? Uh-huh.
Exactly.
I mean, I can remember once when I was in college, we were so happy after an evening that we broke into the kitchen. I was one of the house boys at the fraternity house, so I had the key. So we didn't really break into the kitchen. I had the key. And the only thing that was left over were baked potatoes that were for dinner, they cooked for dinner that were wrapped in the fridge. They were delicious. Cold.
Chomped.
Very good.
Just
it was like
potatoes.
A steak. It was so good. It was probably 4 a.m. Maybe that's a little too much information. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is the phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is Kurt in Naperville. Kurt, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I would like your advice in regard to some mold and mildew that we have. Over 10 years ago, we had our basement finished and the back area, the back room that was left unfinished. The municipal code said that we had to have an air exchange intake system for back there. So once an hour, fresh air is brought in from outside through a duct and it comes in, and along the wall and floor there where this fresh air comes in, there is some mold and mildew forming on the painted foundation wall and on the floor. And I think I can take care of this myself, but I do prescribe to the happy wife formula.
Good call.
For a happy, yeah. So my lovely wife insisted that we have a mold remediation company come in, which we did. And it's very expensive. You know, it's under $1,000, but it's like, okay, I think I can do this if I mask up and
let me stop you for a second. First of all, just because you have mildew and mold doesn't necessarily mean that it's dangerous. So, you know, a lot of times people see that and they go, "Oh my gosh, I have dangerous mold." There's like 1,100 different strains of mold. Half a dozen of them are really bad for you. So, just because you see it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. It's bad that you don't want it. You know, what's interesting is how you describe where this mold is. It probably has less to do with the air exchange, and it has more to do with moisture coming from the outside of that foundation wall and or the top of the floor of the basement that's permeating through the wall as opposed to surface. And really, I have the simplest of products for you to use that is so safe to use and will kill the mold, you know, almost immediately, called Concrobium.
Okay, I do have that.
Okay, so it is a...
I haven't I haven't used it yet.
All right, it's a sodium carbonate mix. Spray it on, mm-hmm. let it dry. Spray it on, get it wet, let it dry a couple hours. Go at it with a stiff nylon brush, and you'll probably brush off what you've just killed off of the surface. And if that is the case, spray it again. It has residual properties to keep the mold and mildew from coming back. And tell your lovely wife, what is the name of this lovely woman that you've been married to for how long?
I call over 40 years, and I call her the lovely Jan.
Jan, the beautiful Jan. Tell her there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with you doing it yourself. You're doing essentially exactly the same thing as the professional company, but you're saving Jan $900, if not more, mm-hmm. that you could mm-hmm. take on a shopping spree because Christmas is coming.
Wow. If I stated it that way, that might work.
I mean, you're done right now. You're welcome. We solved your mold problem, and you don't have to worry about it. I told you, Kurt, we should have gotten a professional to do this. Honey, let's go to Saks Fifth Avenue.
Okay. I can say those words.
Dress buying and mold remediation. I don't know what else I have to do to help you people. Thank you, Kurt. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. As an aside, Saks Fifth Avenue, they are, you know, my wife is in the hunt right now for a dress to wear to our son's wedding. Boxes and boxes are showing up to our house. Sure. And I'm like the dress, no.
The judge.
We're going to a wedding on another niece of ours on New Year's Eve in Denver. And she has this fabulous dress that she's wearing, which she showed me the first time. I'm like, that's it. Done. I don't want to see anything else. But it's not a mother of the groom dress. And so she went to Saks. And, you know, supply chain thing we keep talking about? They have zero gowns.
Really?
Like, they're waiting and waiting. And they go, keep ordering them online because there's nothing here. So, news you can use right here on House Mirth Radio. Looking for a gown for a wedding, it's going to be difficult. If you find one that you love, buy it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We love our PermaSeal encapsulated crawl space.
Wait, do you go around and tell people that? We love our PermaSeal encapsulated. Well, they should get a t-shirt that says that, because when people are so happy, you'd just be out. You know those, what's the name of that company that has those shirts that are like obvious shirts? You know, they say things like whatever. We love our PermaSeal encapsulated crawl space.
That's right.
And then it would say, hey, lady, wear this t-shirt. We'll give you $10 off. Like, that'd be a good deal.
I take it.
Well, I'm glad. You know what's funny about what you just said? The TV show House Smarts that I've hosted forever, we have not created new episodes yet. It's a long story. But a lot of stuff that we've done over the years is posted on. We have a YouTube channel, right? And you know, now the YouTube thing, you know, people subscribe, whatever. Years ago, we did a video on encapsulating with PermaSeal, like they did the encapsulation. We took our cameras, we filmed the whole thing. It's like one of, if not the only video on encapsulating a crawl space on YouTube. And it has something like almost 800,000 views. It's crazy. I'm like almost like a YouTube star, and I was fatter and I had less hair. So I want to redo the whole thing. Okay, enough about me. How can I help you?
So our house will be vacant for about 6 months as we travel to the sunnier weather.
Nice.
And my questions are concerning turning off the water. So we're going to ask the city to turn off the water.
No.
And then we'll turn it. No?
No.
Why? Well, that'll save us a whole bunch of money.
Why?
Because our garbage collection and recycle collection and water service all are connected together. You can't turn off, you can't stop just the garbage collection without turning off the water.
Are you serious? Wait, where do you live? Russia?
Elmhurst.
Wait a minute. You can't tell them don't pick up the garbage and they say, well, we got to shut off your water. Who elected who's ever in charge there? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Well, there's the four utilities are put together, and you can't say stop charging me one if not the other.
So they're going to come and turn your water off.
Well, no, it's my decision, you know, turn my water off so I could save some money.
Okay.
It's either so they're going to do that, then I'm going to turn it off inside the house. And then what about the toilets and the drains and the dishwasher and the water heater? I mean, should there be water kept in the toilet bowl and the tank, right? And a little bit on the bottom of the dishwasher? Do I have, we've got somebody going to be coming in on a weekly basis just to, you know, check, should they pour some water down the drains? What happens? Should we drain our water heater? Does that happen automatically?
Here's what I don't like about this scenario with the water. So, you know, you, I'm assuming in where you live, out in the parkway, there's a valve.
Correct.
Right? So the city of Elmhurst is going to send some crew with a big tee box, and they're going to stick it in the ground, and they're going to turn the water off at that valve.
Right.
Okay? Now we got a pipe coming from that valve to your house where there's a meter.
Right.
There's a chance that somewhere in that pipe from the line where that valve is to the meter, there's a little leak. Maybe. And you would never know about it because it's leaking before it gets to the meter.
Okay.
But when I turn that valve off, that means that pipe, that this is in my scenario in my mind, okay? That I'm not saying that there's probably a chance that there isn't a leak, but there could be, that pipe now gets drained because you're down in warm weather for 6 months.
All right.
And when you take water out of a charged line, it creates rust. Now, the other thing is, when I turn the water off at the valve at the meter at your house, which is what I, if you're going to go down this path, you are going to turn the water off at the valve too, because if there was a little leak, we don't want any back pressure to lose the water that's in your house. So I want that shut off first, and you don't touch any water in the house whatsoever. Don't flush a toilet. Don't drain a water heater. Don't do anything. You'll turn the water heater off if it's a gas water heater, but you'll leave all the lines charged in the home.
Oh, okay.
But you will get a little seepage of, it'll go away. The toilet will leak a little bit, or your friend that comes in to go check on the house is going to be like, I got to go tinkle. And they'll go to the bathroom and they'll flush the toilet. It'll flush once. And now we got the water out of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've introduced air into the line, and now we have a problem with rust. I don't like the whole, you got to shut the water and the garbage and everything, or I can't save any money. How much money are we saving in 6 months?
It's $150 a month.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of money. But yeah, there's a mechanical issue potentially that could cost you a heck of a lot more than that if there's a problem 6 months down the road.
Okay. All right. So, okay, let's say then we sacrifice that, you know, $900 and we keep the water line on. Do we then, how do we protect the house from just the lines freezing? Just by keeping the temperature?
Yeah, keep the heat at 50 degrees, right? And do you have Wi-Fi in the house? Are you killing that while you're away?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to turn all that off. Go out and buy this product called a Winter Guard by Honeywell. It's okay. $25. You plug it into the wall in the front window, and you plug a lamp into it. And if it gets below 40 degrees, the lamp turns on. And hopefully the neighbor that's going to be there says, oh, look at Gene's house. The light is on. Something must be wrong with the heat.
Love it.
Don't touch me because I'm close to the edge. Gene, have a great time in the warm weather. Elmhurst, I don't like that rule. It's 9:33 in the morning. We'll take a quick break for news and we'll be right back.
The 1-inch expansion joint in my driveway keeps cracking when I caulk it. What is your opinion of trim a slab?
Trim a slab, I've never even heard of it, but if you have expansion and you have a wider gap, I've mentioned the fact that you can actually buy a material that is kind of it's basically a tar impregnated felt strip. You'll dig out what you have, the depth that you need it to go. You may have to trim this felt expandable and slide it in there. That whole idea is that it allows the driveway or the sidewalk, whatever it might be, to expand and contract, and it gets wider and thinner. And it isn't tight, like watertight, but it does keep large amounts of water from getting in there, which can be problematic for ice in the wintertime. So expansion joint that you should be able to find at the home center or the hardware store.
All right, next, my lawn has so many weeds. What can I put on it for the winter?
Well, I mean, you know, the weed issue now is problematic because we're getting to colder temperatures and the soil temps on the ground won't activate anything that you're going to put on it. So if you wanted to do something, I would probably put some sort of organic material, if you can find it, because a lot of, you know, nurseries and home centers and hardware stores are transitioning out of fertilizer. But if you could find something, Scotts makes a product called Foundation, which can help to change the pH level of the soil. There's also a product by Jonathan Green called Magic Cal, which is also something that you could put down that's an organic material. Then in the spring, when we get to warmer temps, start with a broadleaf weed and feed application early on. I'd probably do it really early, like mid-April, and see if you can control those weeds. And then after, when mid-May rolls around and we really start to get warmer, then you can apply new seed to try and crowd out the weeds and grow more grass. How about one more?
One more. Well, this one said, well, we've gotten a lot of requests for the bourbon drink that you talked about. So I will post that on your Facebook page.
Oh, I thought people were requesting my cocoa.
No, I have not gotten one of those yet.
Okay.
But there's,
so we're
going to
do that. It's not my recipe. It was a recipe that my future daughter-in-law sent, and it's from some website. What was it?
Half-baked harvest, which
half-baked
is delicious.
Harvest. And Don said that he loves how when people make the drinks, they spill everything around the drink, and it looks very festive.
Right. Oh, yes. It's
a lot of work, and you need all the ingredients, but if you want to do this and you make this tonight, it'll be night-night for sure. You have a couple of those, night-night.
There's the bird call.
There you go.
Cuckoo. Oh, my gosh. This is so
all right. So we'll post that. Will you post that on our Facebook page?
Yes, I will.
All right. That's our Just Text Me segment. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Jim in Des Plaines, we're going to send you out a House Smarts radio hat. Good morning.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lou. As I told Lindsay, of my 70 years on this planet, this is the first time I've ever won anything on the radio.
Oh, my.
And what could be better than a House Smarts radio cap?
That is so nice. I think you should go out and buy a lottery ticket, too, today, because that'll be worth a heck of a lot more.
I think I might do that.
How may I help you, sir?
Lou, I have a question for you. I did a shower remodel about 4 years ago. I used a solid surface material on the walls, okay, and I have an acrylic base. After everyone takes a shower, the walls are wiped dry, mm-hmm. Everything. I'm really trying to maintain this. About a year ago, an inch and a half long, a brown spot, I don't know if it's mildew or mold or whatever it is, and I can't get rid of it. I tried making a paste out of, my 70-year-old brain has kicked in.
Comet or Ajax or something like that?
It can also be used as a laundry detergent, whatever. I've tried my steam mop, blasting it with steam. I've tried bleach on it.
Where in the actual liner is this, on the floor or on the wall?
No, it's at the intersection of the solid surface wall to where it meets the lip on the a shower base.
It's a solid surface wall, not an acrylic.
Yes.
It's
an acrylic base, solid surface wall. Okay.
And it's where the meet.
It's right where the two meet in the caulk line. It's in this white caulk.
Right. So have we removed the caulking?
That's short of removing the caulking.
That's what we need. Okay, hold on. That's what we're going to do. More than likely what's happened here, Jim, is the moisture and the staining is coming from the backside. And what you're seeing is the staining on the backside of that caulking. Remove that caulk, get it all off, do the whole thing, right? And I want you to use a caulking, and I want you to write this down, called Cleans, C-L-E-A-N-Z, Cleans. And it is a mildew and mold inhibitor caulking that comes in white and almond and clear that's guaranteed not to mildew and mold. And if you go to, you know, an Ace or something like that, they'll have it.
Sure.
But you got to make sure you get all the caulking off, clean it up really well, okay. Make sure that it's okay. Dry. So you may want to stay out of this for a day or so once you remove it all. Make sure it's dry. Reapply it. Let that dry overnight, and then you're good to go.
Very well. I was afraid you were going to tell me to re-caulking it, because every other a household chore, I don't have any problem with. Caulking is not my long suit,
well,
but I'll get through this.
Yeah, this one you'll get through, and this is very easy to use, and I think you'll find that you're going to solve that problem by doing it. Thank you so much for the phone call, and I'm glad you won the hat. By the way, I want to tell you about this terrific sweepstakes that's occurring right at WGNRadio.com right now. Veterans in particular, I'd like you to listen. You've stepped up for our freedom, and you deserve the freedom to move about your home. If you have served in a branch of the armed forces, then please head to WGNRadio.com/contests and enter the chance to win a home stair lift with installation from our friends over at Access Elevators. A big thank you to them. That's WGNRadio.com/contests and enter to win a home stair lift that will be installed by Access Elevator. You need to be a member of the or have served in a branch of the armed forces. This is specifically for veterans. The sweepstakes ends on Sunday, November 7th at 11:59 p.m. So enter today, WGNRadio.com/contests. 9:54 in the morning. 9:55 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Our last call today, Lindsay, is sponsored by ComEd Powering Lives. And that last caller this morning is Lucy, who's in Elgin. Hi, Lucy.
Hi. How are you, Lou?
I'm well. How may I help you?
Okay. I have two questions. One is for a friend of mine. Her house is on a slab, and some of the vents that are still from the slab area give nothing but cold air. And she's wondering, she had the bedrooms and the bathrooms several years back. She had ductwork put through the attic, and those rooms stay warm. But the family room, the kitchen, and the dining area blow cold air. And she's been told that she should just fill those in with cement and have more ductwork brought through the attic.
All right, you hold on a second because I'm running out of time, but I will answer your question off the air so I can help you out and your friend. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I so appreciate it. Happy Halloween. Be safe out there. Eat lots of candy, you kids. Thanks to Andy. Thanks to Don. Thanks to Lindsay and Bob Ferguson. We'll be back next week.